This is the Life Journey Podcast with Quentin, a.k.a. Q Gauze No Days Off, from on the field and off the field, NFL player and entrepreneur, motivating you to be the best you can be and getting you out of your comfort zone, sharing with you travel, sports, and entrepreneurial tips with amazing guests on the show. Now, get ready for your life to change with the Life Journey Podcast and your host, Quentin Gauze.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Life Journey series. This is your host, Quentin Gauze, and we have a special guest on today, Ashley Renee. How's it going?
Going really good. It's a little hot here in ATL, but I'm managing.
Love it. That's awesome, man. So, first off, talk about the weekend at Audacity. Like, how was that?
Oh, man, Audacity was lit. I tell everybody it felt less like a travel conference and more like a family reunion that just happened to be hella educational. The energy was out of this world. I loved it.
Man, that was amazing. That was amazing. And that was down in Memphis, Tennessee, right?
That was in Memphis, yes. That was my second time in Memphis. So it's a good city.
Oh, no, that's amazing. Yeah, I actually played. They had a football team in Memphis from January to April. I don't know if you heard about the league. It's called the AAF League. Yeah, they literally spent $200 million in the league, and they wasted it. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah. So I had a little case in Memphis a little bit. But, so, you know, kind of let us know about, you know, where you're from and a little bit about the industry.
Yeah. So my name is Ashley Renee. I'm from ATL. I'm from Atlanta. I'm a professional content creator who produces photography, video, and written content in the vegan and sustainable lifestyle niche. So I teach people how to live their best green lives.
Love it. I love it. This is amazing. And how did you get started in that space? What made you begin to, you know, kind of start creating that content within that space?
Well, that's an interesting story. So I actually started out just as a generic travel content creator with no particular direction. I went to Bali one day. And I was really disappointed because I ended up going to this beach that was littered with huge piles of trash. It was the most eye-opening experience of my life, and I was never the same after that. I think it was in that moment that I realized how much of an impact that I have as an individual all the way in the United States on countries as far as Indonesia, because you know, the trash that ends up on beaches and in the oceans, they're coming from somewhere, right? And they're coming from us. So I realized I had to make a change. And so I decided to go vegan for the benefit of the environment as well as for the animals. I went out and bought an electric car. I started taking more electric car road trips to reduce my carbon footprint. And I built a solar-powered smart home. So I really wanted to walk the walk. And in the background, as I was doing all these things and making all these changes, I wasn't making those updates really in my content. So my content wasn't really reflecting how my life was changing. But every now and then, I'd kind of talk about it a little bit here and there in my Instagram stories, or, you know, I did like a YouTube video showing me buying my Tesla, and people were bizarrely just so interested and fascinated in that. And I wasn't planning on my content going in that direction, because I didn't think people would be interested in it. I started out as travel, and I just tied so much of my worth to my travel because I thought that's what people were interested in. But it turns out that people really, really wanted to learn more about sustainability and, you know, the vegan recipes and the different vegan dishes that I was cooking. And so I pivoted. I completely pivoted, and I decided to base my entire niche around sustainability and vegan living. And I'm so happy that I did, because I feel like I'm speaking my truth now.
Your driver has arrived.
Man, you always drive.
DMV took my license. This is the only driving I get to do.
Burn, baby, burn.
Hang on, I gotta take this.
Young Money Bruggy, Sweetie speaking.
What the?
Sloppy Bill, what's up?
Wayne!
Ghost Recon Breakpoint, rated M for mature.
Speaking, so you understand what your purpose is?
I do understand what my purpose is, and it feels good.
A lot of people don't find what their purpose is in their entire life, so that's good that you found your niche, you found what you love to do. On your Instagram, so you were kind of promoting something for Toyota, I believe, right? In a hybrid. It's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's definitely a blessing. I think the moment I started walking in my truth and really putting it out there, what I believed in and what message I wanted to send, I started to attract the brands that were in alignment with my message. And so it feels really good to be partnering with other people that believe in spreading that message of positivity and, you know, eco-consciousness. It feels awesome to be able to have those kinds of partners and to see that there's actually ways to make money in the things that you're passionate about. Like, you don't have to just follow the blueprint to success that you see other people doing. Like, be yourself always and the money will come.
Preach. So as a kid, you know, explain to people like your childhood growing up and, you know, your teenage years to your adult years.
Yeah. Okay. So honestly, I had a pretty good growing up. I'm blessed with two very loving parents and a much cooler than me big sister. From an early age, it was pretty clear that I would be in the creative field, both behind the scenes and in front of the camera. When I was a kid, I was always the biggest ham. I was the kid whose hand always shot up first in class to read out loud. And I'd always do it in the most dramatic, extra way possible. I auditioned to star in every school play, sang in every talent show, even though I can't sing, but I didn't care. I had zero awareness of any possibility at all that I wasn't good at something or couldn't be good at something. So I tell people all the time, like, I think I kind of lack the fear gene that normal people are born with. So growing up, if there was ever anything I wanted to do, I just did it without even thinking twice. And I think I'm pretty fortunate because my family has always been so supportive of that. Like, they never once said, you can't do that or you shouldn't do that. They just let me be me. And as a result, I had a safe space to explore my creative side growing up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know, they may have been mildly disappointed that I chose not to go down a more traditional career path, at least at the time. My mom wanted me to follow in her footsteps and go into medicine. She's a registered nurse.
Okay.
But yeah, go mom. But I chose to follow my heart and not the money, because I just figured the money would come, and that wasn't even something that I was worried about. And I can tell that today, like, my parents are very proud to see that that decision didn't lead to their worst fears coming true, which is me being a struggling artist. I think they were low-key pretty worried, but they did a good job of giving me that freedom to take that risk and fail if I had to.
No, that's amazing to hear that. I mean, yeah, a lot of people aren't born, you know, with, you know, have the best parents, but like, it's a great blessing that you do. And like, the people that I've talked to that didn't have like the best childhood growing up, they'll always mm-hmm. say like, it like takes a community to raise a child. So they're always like around good mentors and good people. So it's good that like, you have great parents that support you, and same here on my side, mm-hmm. too, my family, great parents. And my mom's a registered nurse as well too. So that's
oh, nice. Hey, RN
in the house. RN. So, next question. What's your go-to restaurant in Atlanta?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I honestly don't go out to eat a lot when I'm at home.
Okay.
So when I went vegan, I had to learn how to cook, because up until I went vegan, this is going to sound crazy, but up until I went vegan, men always cooked for me.
Really?
I know that sounds super spoiled, but it sounds backwards, but look, you know, I'm living in different times now, so yes, men cook. My husband, he always cooked for me. And even before him, every ex-boyfriend I ever had cooked for me. I think I subconsciously looked for guys who knew how to cook.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. When I was growing up, my dad cooked for us. Like, he did all the cooking. But after I went vegan, my husband freaked out. He didn't know what vegans eat. He was confused and he was scared that he wasn't feeding me enough. He was like, I can't not in good conscience feed my wife broccoli every day. But he liked a lot. He couldn't do it. He was confused. He didn't know what to do. But I say this, like, he, like many people, had a lot of misconceptions about veganism. I think there's, you know, just a lot of confusion as to what we eat. People think that we're just eating leaves all the time, but it's just not true. There's tons of things that we can eat. So I cook every day and I share my recipes on my Instagram stories maybe 3 times a week. I think the cool thing about being vegan is I've learned how to cook with so many different kinds of ingredients that I never experimented with back when I ate meat. And my diet, it gets such a huge variety of interesting foods that when I go to a regular non-vegan restaurant, I'm kind of unimpressed with their menus, to the point where when I meet up with friends, I usually cook and eat before I meet up with them. And when I get there, I'm usually just there for the camaraderie. I'm just there to hang out and talk. But I did try a vegan restaurant the other day. It was super dope. It was called Bloody Vegan. Mm-hmm. That restaurant has lines wrapped around the building every single day in Atlanta. Like, it's truly amazing, because I think a lot of people, they would not associate Atlanta with vegans,
right?
But you'd be surprised. Most of the customers at Slutty Vegan, they're not even vegans. They're meat eaters, and it's because their burgers are just that good.
You know what? I got to say, I've heard a lot about that restaurant, and I've heard a lot of great reviews for sure. And you know what? My first experience with, like, in that realm was the black bean burger, and so good. Like, it was so good. I was like, man, I need to just have this from now on, because your protein. You get what you need. You know, so.
Yeah. And you know what? I started doing that in my Instagram stories. I started putting how much protein was in my meals, because I think that's another misconception. People think that we don't get enough protein. My average meal is usually 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal. And I think that shocks a lot of people, because they're like, oh, we thought that you were out here struggling to get your protein. I'm like, nah, I eat just as much. I probably eat the same amount of meals as my husband and eat just as much protein as he does.
Wow. What's your calorie intake?
You know what? I don't really count my calories, but I can tell you probably the average amount of calories that's in most of my meals. Let's see. Like, the other day I made some enchiladas, and they were really, really good. And I actually wrote down exactly how much protein was in it. I can pull it up right now, actually. 1 second.
Okay.
Insight. Content. I'm on my Instagram right now. See all. It's actually one of my most responded to vegan recipes. A lot of people like that one. Here it is. It was 27 grams of protein, and the calories was 760.
Wow.
I don't think that's too bad. Yeah, so I think the average meal that you is probably like 700 to 800 calories. Yeah.
No, that's solid. That's solid right there.
I'm about to make some.
No, go ahead.
That's a salad.
No, so that's solid. I was saying that's solid right there.
Yeah. I was about to say, I was about to make some artichoke crab cakes with quinoa, roasted red peppers, sauteed zucchini and walnuts, and that's about 800 calories right there. Not too bad. Yeah.
Okay. No, I just know as a football player, like, they always broke down our calories. Like, they say, okay, you need to gain this much weight. To do that, you need to eat 3,500 calories a day. I'm like, what? So, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, next question is, what do you wish you had known when you got started out?
Ooh, I wish I had known to speak my truth and be my most authentic self always. I think I wasted a lot of time trying to follow formulas for success instead of just creating my own lane. And what I wanted to do, you know, talking about sustainability and veganism, especially in our community, I was scared. Like, I didn't think anybody would want to hear me talk about that they thought it was weird. You know, what I wanted to do is very different. And I didn't have any examples out there showing me how to do it. It's much easier, I'd say, to follow blueprints designed by people who've already succeeded than it is to create your own. But that's also the quickest way to fade into the background. So I had to ask myself, do I want to be a follower or do I want to be a trendsetter? Do I want to duplicate or do I want to educate? So eventually I chose to be a trendsetter who creates content that educates, entertains, and enriches people's lives. I call it the three E's because, you know, let's be real, if your content is not educating people, if it's not entertaining people, or if it's not enriching people's lives in any way, why would anyone follow you? So I stopped with the cliche twirling dress pics that I saw on every major Instagram account, with no shade at all. Like, it serves its purpose to inspire people, but the thing is, it just wasn't me. And so I said, F it. I was like, I'm going to pave my own way. My passion is sustainability, green living, and vegan travel, and I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm going to be proud of it. It's what I'm passionate about. So I pivoted my niche and I started speaking my truth and serving my audience with entertaining, educational, enriching content that I believed in and felt could help add value to their lives and make a difference. At the end of the day, I just wanted to be myself and the rest would follow, right?
Right. And that's amazing that you say that. I mean, a lot of people, like you said, like attend certain events and constantly go to seminars or watch people on YouTube and online and try to get so much information, and then like they don't do nothing with it, or like you said, create their own path. And that's I think that's like a problem today. Like, people aren't like trying to be them their authentic selves and be transparent.
Nah, they're not. And I'll be honest too, like, I think you said something very important about like how, you know, people will listen to this advice, but then they won't actually follow it. So I'm the type of person where I don't get inspired by other people. I wish I was that type of person. Like, for example, when Beyonce's homecoming, you know, documentary dropped, everybody was on Instagram talking about, oh my gosh, she inspired me to be so much better. It didn't have that effect on me. Like, I watched it and I was like, wow, Beyonce's really amazing. But it didn't inspire me to get up and, you know, do my thing, because I honestly don't learn that way. I think I kind of learned the hard way. It's very unfortunate to say, but I actually learned by failing. So it usually takes me failing before I learn my lesson and how to do something properly. So I had to learn by messing up over and over again in order to get better. But yeah, unfortunately, like, I don't learn by going to conferences or by, you know, listening to webinars or anything like that. Like, it might be inspiring for all of 2 seconds and then it kind of fades away the next day. So I just had to learn to just do it, get started, go for it. And if I fail from it, I learn from it. And then I just keep getting better from that.
Well, that's perfect leeway to the next question. What's something you failed at that has made
everything
you better?
Everything. So when I first quit my job, I'd have to say the number one thing I failed at was transitioning to not having somebody over me to tell me what to do. It was something that was very difficult for me to get used to because I have a very type B personality, an extreme type B personality. And I think I got caught up in the whole concept of being an entrepreneur and having all this freedom and not wanting to have a schedule and just be me and be free and, you know, do things when I want to do it. That's not how life works.
Right.
You have to be disciplined. Yeah. Like, especially if you don't have anybody over you, you are now a team of one. Everything is on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you succeed depends entirely on you. And I had to learn that the hard way. After missing deadlines, after disappointing people, after not getting my content out on time, after, you know, having to take breaks because I was so overwhelmed because I wasn't properly planning out my schedule to make sure that I got everything done during the day. And I ended up putting so much pressure on myself at the last minute to do things. So I had to learn by doing it the wrong way and failing at it in order to learn the hard lesson that, hey, being an entrepreneur does not mean you get the freedom to just do whatever you want to do.
Right.
In fact, it's like the complete opposite. You have to be disciplined. You have to have a routine. You have to, you know, be grounded and think things through and plan ahead in order to succeed in this industry. And so what changed for me, a game changer for me, was setting a routine for myself. And I notice if I don't follow a routine every day, it throws me off my game. So I started out by just waking up early, because when I first quit, I was waking up at all sorts of hours without a care in the world. I was like, I can do that because I don't have a boss. And totally the wrong way to go about things. So I actually started waking up at 5 a.m.
Okay.
And it became very natural for me. I've never been a morning person. When I tell you, like, if you want to be a morning person, you absolutely can. There is nothing you cannot do. Like, I never in a million years thought I would become a morning person. I'm a morning person. I get up at 5. I work out. I drink a liter of water first thing in the morning. I meditate. I do brain exercises. I take care of my dog. And then I get to work. And I take breaks. I have, like, everything on my schedule. I have every single thing on my schedule up to, like, what time I stop to eat a snack or take a break to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, it's all on my calendar and on my schedule, and I stick to it, and it keeps me focused. And without that, I'm just all over the place. So I had to learn that the hard way, and I'm glad I failed at it, because now I'm able to be a much more successful person because of it.
Wow, it's amazing to hear that, because I've been hearing that with the top 1% people, like CEOs or people that are hard workers that are up there. I've heard that from everybody, from the Google,
really?
Those executives, Intuit executives. Mm-hmm. I met with them, LinkedIn exec. I get up at 5 in the morning. I get up at 5:30. I work out. I need time to meditate. And then I get to work with my employees. I already need buffers.
Yep.
I'm like, wow, no, that's great to hear that.
That's awesome. Okay, I feel like I'm on the right track then.
You're doing your thing. No, I respect it. That's what's up. So pretty much the most successful people get up early and are able to focus more and lock in. So it's great to hear that from
yeah. And I think it's only logical, because of course the earlier you wake up, the more you're going to get done throughout the day. And I just think the morning is just so important. Because the later I wake up, I notice the more rushed I feel to get things done. Right. And then that feeling it's not good. It's not a good feeling. So I like waking up and taking my time.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's good to hear that.
Thank you.
And then I have two more questions for you. And
sure.
First one is, you know, I kind of asked on you, like, what are you curious about right now? But I guess to kind of mix that in is, like, what are you curious about right now? But what's the next thing that's trending, like your future outlook within your industry?
Future outlook within my industry. So there is one thing that I've actually always been curious about from the moment I got into this industry. I remember the very first thing I noticed when I got on YouTube was that the top most successful travel YouTubers were all white and male. And it bothered me. And I was like, why don't I see more Black content creators out here doing their thing on YouTube in the travel niche? And so I kind of like studied them to figure out what it was about them that was making them so successful. And there was one thing I noticed, and it was that they all collaborated together. They all got together, they traveled together, they promoted each other. You know, they worked together to create dope content. And also, there's also, you know, let's be honest, white privilege. You know, white people tend to come from very supportive families, and they tend to come from wealth. And so they go into, you know, their careers with all the tools that they need. They kind of have a leg up on, you know, most Black travelers who are trying to get into, you know, the content creation niche. So one thing that I would like to see in the industry going forward, and I'm already kind of seeing it, is I want to see more collaborations in our space, which, like, I felt that at Audacity Fest. I think that was, like, one of the first times I ever just felt so positive and just so hopeful when it comes to, like, the outlook for, you know, Black travel in this space. Like, I really honestly do believe that if we can all kind of come together and keep these conversations going and show these brands, you know, that diversity matters, we can make a difference, we can get our voices heard, and we can continue making a huge impact in this industry if we just keep collaborating and doing these things together and, you know, creating dope content. And I think these types of festivals like Audacity Fest is important, because there were so many like cool content creators there, like Glow, for example, mm-hmm. who people, you know, you can learn from. And you know, she was talking about all the gear that she had, and I was talking about all the gear that I had. And I think it's important for other Black content creators to see successful Black content creators, to learn from them and see what they're doing and what they need to buy in order to succeed in this industry. Because sometimes at the end of the day, it's just, if you don't have an example to look at, then it's really hard to be inspired and motivated to figure out what it is you need in order to find success in your niche. So I really want to see more collaboration in our industry, and I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in the future, because it does seem like diversity is a really huge topic right now.
Right.
And I always keep saying, like I said this a million times, I feel like 2019 is the year of diversity. And I think it's only going to get better as we keep our voices keep getting louder, we keep working together to, you know, solve these issues. And I think we really are going to be a powerhouse in this industry in the years to come. And I'm excited to see that.
Okay. No, that's amazing to hear that. Because, yeah, there's not a lot of people that love to collaborate enough, you know, especially in the Black community. So it's great that everybody's coming together. And Audacity Fest is, like, you know, one of those places that I just felt good vibes all over, like, when I was out there. And, no, this is good.
I think we get a bad reputation for being like crabs in a barrel, but like, I don't think people understand, like, if you work together, that helps you out, because the more recognition we get in this industry, the more opportunities they're going to be for all of us. And so when other people win, you win too, because more opportunities are going to get created, you know, the more people start taking us seriously and the more people start recognizing our value in this industry. So I think collaboration is a huge key that a lot of people overlook.
No, so true. So true. So I'm glad that the growth is happening. I'm glad that a lot of good things are happening out of it for sure. Because, like, yeah, I used to watch, like, Sam Colder and was it Devin stuff online, just viewing their content. I'm like, wow, like, how are these guys getting this footage? And they have, like you said, they have a team of like at least 5 or 8 people with them filming.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly. They have their network. And I think that's one thing that we kind of lack, because we don't come together and work together. But like, they have their networks, and you can see their content is killer because of it. Think about it. You can go so much further when you collab up with other people. I actually started, I haven't really had time to really hone in and massage this community, but I started an Instagram account called Collab Up to just kind of inspire people to show, like, really, you know, inspiring images of Black content creators coming together and collaborating and creating really cool content to just kind of like motivate people to reach out to other content creators and not be afraid to collaborate with them.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, definitely, I'll put that, if you could send that to me, I'll put that in the podcast link description as well too.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Last question. What advice would you give to someone looking to get into the industry?
Just start. Honestly and truly, just start. Like, don't overthink things. Set aside some time to create at least 2 weeks worth of content and schedule it out to be posted, so that you'll be ahead of schedule and you won't suffer from overwhelm and pressure to get things out at the last minute. That will make things so much easier on people who are trying to do this.
That's so true. I've gotten stuck in that at some points too. You got to get something out, and it's like, ah, crap. It's like, you get it out last minute, but you
know, last minute. I hate that feeling. Yeah, the pressure. And you know, like, I don't know if you're like this, but I'm the type of person where if I'm so overwhelmed, sometimes I will just lay in bed and do nothing because I'm so overwhelmed. I'd rather just do nothing than do something. And that's never a good place to be in. So I had to rethink the way I was doing things and get things done ahead of time.
Right.
Because in all honesty, it's better to do something than nothing at all. So I have to avoid getting to that place of overwhelm so that I don't get like that.
Right. No, I totally understand. It's just getting it, being done early with it. You know, the procrastination can really hold you back as a create content. For sure. So.
Preaching to the choir, my friend.
Good stuff. Well, I appreciate you having me on the show. This was such an amazing interview.
Thank you.
To work to, you know, collab on something, if you're in Atlanta or wherever you're around the world, you know, we can
hopefully
get some work done. I love the way you shoot. I know that, I think, I don't know if you have, like, you have a team with you and stuff too sometimes, but I've seen you do stuff on your own, and I think that's dope. It's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, for the most part, I shoot everything myself. I don't really have a team. For really big projects, I might hire a videographer, like if I need somebody to film me, like as I'm walking and things like that, where I a tripod just won't cut it. And if there's a budget for it, like I'll actually hire people. That's only happened a couple of times. Like I hired somebody to come with me on my United project. I hired somebody to shoot a State Farm project recently. But that's pretty it. It's like very rare when I actually hire people to come help me. For the most part, I've always been a one woman crew, which is difficult. I would love to collab up with other people.
No, that's awesome though. Because I see the shots that you do, like the last one, I think the one you did yesterday on the beach. And I'm like, I know that took a while to do, like the different camera angles.
Yeah, believe it or not, I shot all that myself. I flew my drone and like I had the controller in my hand and tried to pretend like I wasn't filming myself. Mm-hmm. I tried to walk as naturally as possible, but yeah, I did that whole thing. I was filming myself on the beach, trying to act casual.
It was a good job. That's all I can say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad you see it because I'm like, do people notice? So it makes me happy that people know the work.
They don't know the work that goes into it. It's good.
I know. Yeah. They don't know, man.
But good stuff, man. So, well, appreciate you having me on the show. And hopefully we can have you on the show later on during 2020 and get you back on.
Yeah, I'd love to come back and talk more about what I'm doing and my purpose and just have a great conversation with you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
No problem. Appreciate you having me. So that's the end of the Life Journey series. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And Q Gals out.
Thank you for listening to the Life Journey podcast with Quentin Gause. To find out more and to follow the journey, visit Quentin's Instagram @QGause or our business page.